Praise God. All right, saints, it's time for this message. Are you all woke? All right, thanks, Karen. Thanks for the motivation. I was wondering if y'all would say, wanted me to say, you know what, let's just go home. So you don't have a sermon outline to follow along with me today because the bulletin was kind of thick. So we were trying to conserve a little bit of paper. But if you look at the bulletin, what is the title of today's message? We should. Praise God. Now, today is not a part of a sermon series. We just came out of the Love is the Answer sermon series. So today's sermon is on its own. And then next week, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby will be preaching regarding their anniversary. And then the following week, we'll start a new sermon series called On Location. But you'll hear more about that. So let's not jump ahead too fast for me. So today is just because we can doesn't mean we should. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are so awesome and amazing. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this day, Holy Spirit. We ask your blessings upon us this day, Lord, that you would usher into our hearts, our minds, our souls, an experience all about you. Help us to take the time that you have given us this day, Lord, to hear your word, to learn about you, to grow in you. We thank you, Lord, for the changes that you are making in our lives. And it's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. You know, saints, as a part of being a pastor, a part of having a pastor, because not only am I a pastor, but I have pastors, amen? Just like you all, I look at Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby as my leaders. They are my leaders, my mentors. And it's so nice to always have someone that you can go to have some real guidance and some real wisdom, amen? You know, I remember many a times coming to Pastor Rick or Pastor Toby when I truly needed to talk to them. Anybody ever had that experience? You had something going on in your life and you needed a real, honest, true answer. You didn't need them walking around on eggshells trying to figure out what to say to you. And so, saints, going to our pastors has always been a beneficial blessing that we have here at Glenville. Because if we need advice, encouragement, knowledge, wisdom, we know that the answers that we will get will be Bible-based. Amen. The answers that they will give us, is they will not give us answers that will benefit themselves. Have you ever noticed that about our pastors? They are into benefiting themselves, and sometimes they don't even necessarily worry about how it's going to affect the church. Their greatest goal is about you and your relationship with God. So they always give us real good advice. And our advice doesn't just come from our pastors. Sometimes some of us have had a good teacher, a good mentor, a good friend, a parent, a brother or sister, someone like that in our lives to give us advice. I remember one day when I needed some advice, and Pastor Rick said something to me that has just always stuck to me. He said, the sermon title. He said, just because you can, Kelly, doesn't mean you should. And I've always carried that with me throughout my entire ministry. And it got so deep, saints, when I was looking at this message and get into fasting, I started thinking about just because we can doesn't mean we should. You see, saints, the world offers us two types of situations, a good situation or a bad situation. But have you ever noticed that God never forces us to do the good, and God never stops us from doing the bad? Well. It's always our own choice. We have that thing called free will. Sometimes that works to our benefit, but sometimes it doesn't. So here's the situation. When we are looking at the evil, sinful things of this world, just the evil and sinful things of this world, we can ask ourselves this question. We can say, just because we can doesn't mean we should. You see, our hearts always desire those things that aren't necessarily good for us. So just because we can go out and smoke and drink and do drugs and all the other kind of things we can get involved in doesn't mean we should. You know, when we're looking at our gospel reading from the book of Matthew, Jesus was tempted by Satan. He was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tempted him physically. He said, here, you know you want something to eat? Make these stones into bread. And what does Jesus say back to him? Jesus tells him, no, I don't need to do that. And then he tempts him further. He says, you can throw yourself down. He's saying, prove that your life is, you can trust God with your life. Throw yourself down and see if you're still going to be living. See, that's a trust issue. And so Satan asks Jesus to trust in God. And then he challenges him even further and says, you can have everything. He shows him all of these kingdoms and says, you can have everything. Everything. And then Jesus finally says, away from me, Satan. But here it is that Jesus was tempted with all of these things. He could have had everything in this world that we as humans desire. And Jesus said, no. You see, he could have, but doesn't mean he should have. You see, Jesus never lost focus on what his true purpose in this world was. His purpose was for our salvation. He could have turned those stones into bread with barely even a thought. Can you imagine that, Jesus? He's standing there looking at some stones. He's like, come on, Satan, you got to do better than that. I can do that. Give me something a little harder to do. Of course, Jesus could have thrown himself off of any mountain. He could have been up in the universe and threw himself down to the ground and he still would have lived. He could have did that. He already owns all the kingdoms of the world. He could have completely said, Satan, did you forget who you're talking to? I already own this stuff. But Jesus didn't do any of those things. Even though he could, it was about necessarily should he. And he made a decision that these people that I love, these folks that I created, are more important than my own physical needs here today. So you see, saints, even though we can go out again, we can smoke, we can drink, we can do drugs, we can commit sexual immorality, we can be hateful, bitter, angry people, we can be destructive, we can live in relationships that have no value, we can hit people, we can smack other people across the head, we can kill, steal, and destroy, we can do all those things. Did you realize nothing is really preventing us from doing that stuff? We can do all of those things, but it doesn't mean that we should. Doesn't mean that we should. Now, I don't want anybody getting a happy dance and go home thinking Pastor Kelly told you that you can go smoke and do drugs. That's not the intention of the message, thanks. The key is that even though we can do these things, it doesn't mean that we should. If we reflect and go back and think about the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, here they had this one tree, the one tree of knowledge. And God told them, do not touch the tree. But did you also notice that God did not put any gates around the tree? He didn't put any bars blocking them to get to the tree. He didn't put a moat of water. You know, I might not have gone if it was a big moat of water sitting on an island in the middle because I can't swim. He didn't put anything in the way of them getting in that to that tree except their own obedience and their own choice. That was the only thing keeping them from that tree. And here we have Adam and Eve. They were walking in the garden with God, saints. It just could not have gotten any better than that. Got a question today? Turn around, ask God. Need something fixed? Turn around, ask God. He was right there with them and for them. But some kind of way, Adam and Eve got distracted. They decided that they wanted something else more than they wanted God. Guess what they wanted more than God? A tree. A tree. When we say that now, you're thinking, wow, it was just a tree. But they wanted that tree which offered some type of knowledge more than they wanted God. And they got so fixated on this tree, that's all they probably thought about it, was that tree. They got so fixated on the tree that they missed out on God. You see, when we look at the story of Adam and Eve, we can also just look at our own stories. Because we are just like them. We get so fixated on the physical needs, our own physical needs, our own material needs, our emotional needs, our mental needs, that we miss out on the spiritual needs. We get so fixated on the things of this world that we miss out on God. And looking at this is Black History Sunday, African American History Sunday, this has been a big downfall in our community. Our community has gotten so fixated on the me and the I and what we can have and keeping up with the Joneses and trying to have everything that we think we're supposed to have that we have missed out on God. The one missing element when everyone says, what happened to the Black community? What happened to our civil rights struggle? We were doing so great. We were marching. We had everything going. Was that everybody left the church. Except for you all. But so many folks left the church. And then we wonder, what happened to our movement? What happened to our cause? What happened was we left God out of it. You know, Black History Month, when we think about Black History Month, it's so important, you see, because in our families and as individuals, when we look at our community, what the greatest thing that's missing is the God factor, the spiritual factor. But you know what, saints, when I look around our communities, and it's not just Cleveland, I can go to East Cleveland, I can go to Maple, I can go to Warrensville, North Olmsted, Westlake, all of the communities here and far, I can even go way down south somewhere. It's the same wherever we go. Our communities are struck with drugs, violence, broken families. It doesn't matter where we go, we see it and we find it. And saints, I don't know about you, but I'm getting just a little tired of seeing our people struggle the most. It's always our kids that are at the bottom. It's always us that are suffering health-wise. It's always us that are struggling mentally and our marriages that are broken the most. We are always the most when it comes to negative things. And I don't know about you, but I am certainly ready for a spiritual breakthrough. Anybody ready for a breakthrough? I'm ready for a breakthrough. Are you ready for a change? Now, it might sound like that I'm ready to get up and go outside and march right now. But the first thing isn't going on a march. The first thing isn't getting the picket signs together. The very first thing that we need to begin with is fasting. Now, I know some of y'all are like, all right, what's she talking about up there? We need to be out there marching, talking to folks. You talking about fasting. I don't want to fast. You see, we introduced this concept of the Daniel fast about 3 weeks ago. And in that time frame, I've just been listening to some of y'all comments. Only a few of us have jumped on board and said, yes, I can't wait. The rest of us have been complaining. Why we got to give that fast? Why we got to give up the food? We come to church, we praying. Why we got to fast? We've been complaining. We've been just thinking about all the food we going to have to sacrifice. I've heard things like, Pastor Kelly, you know I can't give up chocolate. How am I going to give up chocolate? Or what about my favorite coffee? I got to have coffee every day. Or what about my burger or my fries or my potato chips or my dessert? Y'all got y'all favorites, right, that you don't want to give up. So we've complained about the food that we had to give up. But saints, have we thought about the joy and the breakthrough that we're going to find through fasting? You see, most of us think of fasting as just giving up food. That's what we think about. That's all we focus on the entire time we fast. We can fast for one meal. One meal, and the whole time all we're thinking about is the food. But fasting is not about simply giving up food. Fasting is about replacing food with something else. What is that something else? You see, when you take the food off your plate, you are supposed to put prayer on your plate. When you take those chicken nuggets off your plate, you're supposed to put reading the Bible on the plate. You see, fasting isn't about what we're giving up. Fasting is about what we're beginning to do and the breakthrough that we're preparing for. You see, the key to fasting is that we go into a deeper time of prayer and study and learning about God and depending upon God. And I know you're probably still sitting there like, yeah, yeah, Pastor Kelly, it still doesn't sound that exciting to me. But saints, if I told you today that God was waiting personally to talk to you, that God was waiting personally to get to know you better, not just me, not all of us, I'm talking about you. That God has a special word just for your life. Something that he knows that you've been waiting to hear. You've been waiting for some understanding. You've been waiting for some wisdom. And God is ready to give it to you. But you got to enter into that time of fasting and praying. You see, saints, when we look at fasting, there are so many types of ways to fast. And some of us are thinking, you know what? I can do this for about one day. Or I can do this for about 2 days. Or I got maybe a week on it. But when we talk about fasting for the long haul, that 21 days of fasting, or when we talk about even some of us might fast the entire 40 days of Lent, we're like, I don't think I can go that far. But you'd see, the further you go, the further God is waiting to go with you. God is waiting for us, saints. He has something to reveal for each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter, saints, if we decide I'm going to do that one-day fast or the 10-day fast or the 21-day fast or even the 40-day fast. It's all about the experience, the spiritual experience that you are about to have in your life. And some of you are still sitting there. You just don't get the depth of it. Think about your relationships. Think about the people that you're not talking to right now or that aren't talking to you. Think about the brokenness in some of our homes. Think about the arguments that you've been having lately. Think about the times you've been crying and crying over that one or two people that you've been crying about. God is saying, are you ready for a breakthrough? You see, saints, when we look at our lives, Jesus already knows most of us in here right now today, we're having some financial issues. The check came and it was not enough to pay all the bills. And you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And God is saying, I'm waiting to give you a breakthrough. But I can't give it to you because you aren't being obedient and honoring me. Back to Adam and Eve. See what all they lost just simply because they could not stay away from one tree? And what do we lose simply because we cannot stay away from one plate of food? I know those chickens is good. I'm ready to go home on a good Sunday afternoon. I'm ready to chow down. You know, get me some macaroni cheese, some greens, all that stuff. I love it. There's not a food that I don't like. I will find a way to eat it. But God is saying, I'm ready to give you a breakthrough. Some of us are facing some real important decisions. You're trying to consider, am I going to give up this job or I'm going to keep this job? You're considering leaving a relationship. Some of us have decisions with regard to college. Some of us have decisions with regard to management. You're on a job, you're the decision maker. We all have these decisions to make, and they're weighing down on us, and we're saying, God, what am I supposed to do? And we're not hearing anything. Why are we hearing anything? Because we're not on our knees where we can actually hear better. Didn't ever think about that, saints. You can hear better when you're on your knees. You see, many of us, we've dealt with many of these spiritual breakthroughs. We've had breakthroughs with finances, with relationships, with decisions. But here we are, we're still desiring that closer walk with Jesus. Anybody on that boat today? Where you have been on that path, you've been trying your best, you know a little bit about fasting because you've done it, but you're waiting still for that closer, deeper connection with God. Well, Jesus has something for us all today, saints, because he's saying, I'm here waiting. Many of us today, it's time to let go. Some of us, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. It's time to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. But you cannot let go Because you haven't really connected with God. You see, when we let go of something, we have to hang on to something else. Otherwise, we go back to that thing that we never should have had in our lives in the first place. So it's time to let go. Many of us today are dealing with some broken hearts, some real broken sadness. And it's time for a spiritual breakthrough. You see, there is no hurt that God cannot heal. But we walk around these wounded people all day, every day, still hurting about things that happened so long ago. And God is saying, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to heal your broken heart, to heal your wounds, but you won't get in the position in your life where I can heal you. You see that position where we're completely laid out? That position where everything else goes out the door. We're not concerned about watching TV or listening to the radio or getting on the internet or making all these errands, where the most important position is being in presence of God. You see, we don't think about that. What does it mean to be in the presence of Jesus here on earth? We think of the presence of God when we get to heaven one day, but Jesus says, I am with you always. But do you notice him in your day-to-day affairs? You see, we're going into this Daniel fast, and some of us will choose different tracks. Some of us will go on that 10-day track, but we're going to eat chicken on the weekends on Sunday. Some of us are going to choose that 21-day track, and we're also going to eat chicken on the weekends. Some of us are going to do 10 days solid. You're going to follow the diet exactly as is. And some of us are going to do 21 days solid and going to follow the diet exactly as is. And it doesn't matter. One is not greater than the other. Mine will not be better than yours. Because God is waiting to give us all the same spiritual breakthrough. But I want to tell us all some things about the Daniel fast. There are some things that we are not interested in at all. We are not interested in any of us bragging. We are not interested in any of us going to our jobs and say, guess what, we fasting today. Yeah, you know, we always doing something at my church. We got this fast going on. We're not interested in that. Your bragging or my bragging can cause God to stop. We are not interested in bragging. We are not interested in a whole litany about what you did and what you did not eat. That's not the point. We are not interested in the whining. Say, there's no wine in the fast. Tell your neighbor, there's no wine in the fast. No whining. None of this. Oh, man, I can't wait to have potato chips. Oh, man, I can't wait to have some soda pop. None of that. Tell yourself you are messing up the fast when you do that. We are not interested in the cheaters. Oh, I'm going to put you out there because I already know some of y'all are going to sign up. As soon as nobody is around, you're going to be chowing down on you some Burger King. I still remember my sister and I, we went on this diet in college. We told everybody in college we was on that diet. Soon as wasn't nobody looking, we were straight at McDonald's. We are not interested in anyone cheating. Looky here, saints, no one is required to do this diet. If we go back to the book of Daniel, it doesn't say God forced Daniel to do this fast. It doesn't say Daniel got some special revelation from God to do this fast. It says Daniel chose to do this fast. All of the prophets, all of the people, men and women who went on fast, they chose to fast. God didn't place it in any rules. You will not find it in the Ten Commandments. It is a personal decision. So if you already know you're not going to do the fast right, you're not going to behave, help us out. Don't fast, just pray. Your decision is not any better or any worse than anybody else. Your honesty is what we're asking for. So those things, we don't need bragging. We don't need whining. We don't need cheating when we're on this fast. But I also want to tell you what we are interested in. We're interested in those spiritual breakthroughs. You see, some of us are going to have some powerful testimonies about the goodness of God in your lives. It won't help the rest of us, though, if you keep it a secret. It will not help us if you decide to not tell anybody about it. You see, because when you have your spiritual breakthrough and I'm over here still struggling, I'm going to get motivated and say, let me keep digging deeper. Because such and such heard a word from God and they see this result in their life, and I'm going to keep digging deeper. So saints, this is a time of sharing. This is a time of celebration and praise. Talk about you got a testimony, like that song says. We all going to have a testimony when we come out of this. You see, what we're interested in is seeing true change in our individual lives, true change in our families, and then true change in our communities. You see, every single fast that's mentioned in the Bible, when it was truly heartfelt and the people were really obedient, had positive results. Every single one. Even King Ahab. King Ahab was evil, saints. Why was he fasting? He was fasting because he understood that there was a God who would answer his prayers if he really humbled himself, truly opened his heart up, and fasted and prayed. So, saints, even the worst sinners, which is all of us, can fast and pray. So we're interested in this true change because after all of these fastings that happened in the Bible, all of these positive experiences resulted. Some of them we're going to see one day, 2 days, 2 weeks later, a month later, a year later. We don't know, but until we do it, we will never find out. You see, saints, we're looking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When our leaders met here a few weeks ago, about a month ago, we started seeing true change. We was like, wow, what is happening? It was a movement of the Spirit that if you had not been there, you wouldn't believe it. That's why you're sitting there looking at me like, whatever. But it truly did happen. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we said we're going to look at everything that we do differently as leaders. And it begins with the leadership. This is not just you all doing it. It's all of us, pastors, lay pastors, elders, deacons. We're all on board because we want to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, saints, if you're on board today, we have some things back there for you. There's this kind of brownish booklet, and it talks about the spiritual aspect of fasting. And there's also many lists about recipes that Andrea provided for us, recipes and food that we can eat. Saints, both of these parts are important, and every one of us should be picking it up and running out the door with it. Because if we truly want a spiritual breakthrough in our lives, it all begins with the fast. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you chose to love us and sacrifice for all of us. Many of us, Lord, we have been seeking you. We've been desiring a closer relationship with you, and we have many questions in our lives. And we're ready, Lord, to position ourselves right now, right here, Lord, to give ourselves wholly over to you, Lord Jesus. And this next time period, Lord, as we're fasting, as we're praying, as we're reading our Bibles, Lord, we will pray, Lord, Spirit, fall on us. Fall on us. Help us with the breakthroughs in our lives so we won't continue to be the same people. We won't continue to be the same families. We won't continue to be the same community. We're ready to be all about you, Lord Jesus. We give you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all your people said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints.